Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're digging into Iron Ltd. That's NASDAQ ticker Iron.
Yeah, the company that made this pretty wild pivot, didn't they, from Bitcoin mining?
Exactly. Specialized Bitcoin mining. And then suddenly they're branding themselves as this, you know, AI infrastructure powerhouse.
And the stock went nuts.
Totally nuts. Up over 500% in just 1 year following that move.
Yeah.
So the big question really for you listening is, is this growth real? Is it backed by solid tech and customers, or is it more of a, well, a classic market hype story?
That's precisely what we're here to do. Our mission, if you like, is to apply a skeptical lens here. Mm. We need to pick apart their corporate narrative, look hard at the technical claims, the financials, just try to figure out what's really behind that massive stock surge. Is it a giant in the making, or maybe more of a speculative bubble?
So let's start with the story they're telling. It sounds compelling. They call it a dual engine growth model. And the headline number they're throwing out is audacious. Over $500 million in annualized run rate revenue, ARR. For their AI business, targeted by early 2026.
$500 million ARR. It sounds huge.
It does. But we need to be clear, right? ARR is a forward-looking number. It's non-GAAP. It's a projection, a target.
Absolutely. It is not guaranteed revenue sitting in the bank. And honestly, that massive target immediately flags what might be the biggest weakness here.
Which is?
The customers. Or rather, the lack of named customers. They keep announcing these big multi-year contracts, but they never actually say who with. No leading AI company has ever been named.
That is strange, isn't it? Because in this industry, naming your big clients is usually how you build credibility.
Exactly. Look at their competitors. CoreWeave, Applied Digital. When they land a big fish like OpenAI or Character.ai, they shout it from the rooftops. It's crucial validation.
So Iron silence, it feels significant. A definite red flag.
A major one. Okay, but let's play devil's advocate for a second. Let's assume these contracts are real, even if they're secret. That takes us to what they're actually selling. The infrastructure.
Right, and their big claim there is 100% renewable energy.
Okay, let's unpack that. The Canadian sites, drawing power from BC Hydro, that seems largely legit. It's something like 98% hydro verifiable.
But Canada isn't the whole story. They're expanding quite a bit in Texas.
And that's where the claim gets, well, complicated. Those Texas facilities are plugged into the ERCOT grid, which is, you know, pretty heavy on fossil fuels, around 63%, give or take.
So how do they square that with 100% renewable?
Through accounting, essentially. They buy renewable energy certificates, RECs, which is a legitimate practice. Lots of companies do it.
But it means the actual power, the physical electrons flowing into their Texas servers, isn't green.
Correct. It's grid power, mostly fossil fuels. Buying RECs lets them claim carbon neutrality on paper, but it creates this disconnect between the green branding and the physical reality in Texas.
Okay, so the power source has nuances. What about the actual data centers? The buildings, the cooling, the reliability. This is critical for AI, for high-performance computing, or HPC.
Yeah, and this is where some sharp criticism comes in, particularly from short sellers. They argue these facilities, basically repurposed Bitcoin mining sheds, just aren't cut out for serious HPC workloads.
The phrase was a Prius at the Grand Prix.
All right, that's the one. The claim is they lack things like proper backup power, uninterruptible power supplies, UPS, and maybe even sufficient cooling for these power-hungry GPUs, especially in the West Texas heat. These are non-negotiable for serious AI clients needing guaranteed uptime.
And this ties back to cost, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Look at the numbers Iron reports. They're building out this capacity for less than $1 million per megawatt.
Okay, and the industry standard for proper HPC centers.
It's way higher. Think $10 million, maybe even $20 million per megawatt. That huge gap, that like 10-to-1 difference, strongly suggests they might be missing the kind of redundancy, cooling, and overall robustness that high-end AI demands. It implies a different level of quality, maybe a higher risk of failure.
Right. So questionable customer base, some fuzziness on the green claims, potential infrastructure shortcomings. Let's talk money. How are they funding all this?
Ah, yes. The financing. In October 2025, they pulled off a pretty stunning $1.0 billion convertible note offering.
Okay. Convertible notes aren't that unusual, but the terms here were something else.
They really were. A 0.00% coupon due in 2031. 0% interest.
Zero interest. How does that even work?
It means investors aren't getting paid any regular interest income. Their entire bet is that the stock price will soar, making it profitable to convert those notes into shares later on. It's financing fueled purely by stock price momentum.
That sounds speculative, like bubble territory financing.
That's exactly what critics like Jim Chanos, the famous short seller, called it. He labeled their projections ridiculous assumptions and pure hopium. He specifically targeted things like their claims of hitting 80% EBITDA margins and assuming GPUs will be useful for almost 9 years.
Which seems optimistic, given how fast that tech evolves.
Extremely optimistic. So you have this disconnect. The market pricing imperfection via 0% financing, while seasoned analysts are calling the underlying assumptions unrealistic. That's the risk profile you, the listener, are evaluating.
And didn't they have an issue with the SEC recently? Something about how they reported financials?
They did. In March 2025, the SEC required them to restate their financials. They had to move Bitcoin sales out of cash flow from operations and into cash flow from investing.
Why does that matter?
It matters because cash flow from operations is seen as a key measure of a company's core health, its ability to generate cash from its main business. Reclassifying those sales made their operational cash flow look much weaker than previously reported. It suggested the core business wasn't as self-sustaining.
So pulling it all together.
Look, Iron clearly has some real assets. They have power contracts. They have physical sites. That's not in dispute. But the valuation, it seems heavily driven by what you might call narrative arbitrage.
Meaning
they're exploiting the gap between a really compelling story, AI, green energy, massive growth, and the, shall we say, less verifiable operational reality on the ground.
And it all seems to circle back to that one missing piece. The customers. Who are they? Which brings us to a final thought for you to chew on.
Go on.
What if the reason they don't name customers isn't just about competition? What if the contracts are structured so that Iron only starts earning revenue after they successfully build out the infrastructure, deploy the hardware, and get it fully operational?
So the customer doesn't pay upfront or based on signing?
Potentially. If that's the case, it shifts all the execution risk, the technical challenges, the delays, the costs entirely onto Iron's shoulders, not the customer's. It changes the whole risk dynamic,
making that customer list even more critical.
Exactly. So for you, the crucial question remains the same. Who exactly are these leading AI companies? Finding that out would instantly validate or, well, potentially crush the entire narrative.